2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm going to look at the first 15 verses. The first 15 verses of 2 Timothy chapter 3. You just pray as we read this together. 2 Timothy 3, starting with verse 1. And the Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, longsuffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." I'd like to preach for a few minutes this morning on the subject of faith in the last days. Father, thank you for your word this morning, Lord. May you bless it. These things I ask in Jesus' name. And amen. Well, two Sundays ago, I stood right here behind this pulpit and I preached a message. And if I remember right, it was a timeless message in an untimely world. And we talked about some of the things that were going on here in the world today. And ever since then, for the last 2 weeks, boy, it has been weighing heavy on my mind and on my heart, all the things that's going on in this wicked world today. Now, I know a lot of people, they want to come to church and they want to be lifted up. They want to hear a feel-good message. They want to be kind of hear some love and things. And there is a time for that. There's a time for those kind of messages. But right now, today, I believe the time is that we must be indoctrined into the Word of God. We must know what God's Word says in these final days, these last days the Bible talks about. He said there in the first verse, "This know also, that in the last days, perilous times will come, shall come." In the last days. And we hear that phrase quite a bit. We see it all throughout the Bible. We'll look at some of those in a minute. But in the last days, friends, I want you to know right now, we are in the last days. We are in the last days. If you have been keeping up with the news, you may remember that here last Sunday, while we were here in our church worshiping, nobody having a problem with our worship, nobody that I know of got stopped on their way to the church to worship. To my knowledge, nobody came into this church to try to kill anybody that came in here to worship. To my knowledge, nobody in here was asked if they would renounce Jesus, if they would say that they do not believe in Jesus before they came into this service. To my knowledge, that did not happen here. But I want you to know, last Sunday, March the 15th, over in Pakistan, now automatically you think, oh, that's way over there. Those people deal with that kind of thing all the time. They're used to it over there. No, they're not. In Pakistan, where these two churches were, two suicide bombers entered into these churches as they were worshiping. Two different churches, two different suicide bombers go inside the church while people are in there worshiping, and they ignite themselves and blow themselves up, taking out with them 15 people out of one of them. There was many people killed, 70 people horribly, horribly injured because of these men that came in there. Over in Yemen, Friday, March the 20th, just this past Friday, ISIS suicide bombers attacked two different mosques during midday prayer, killing over 137 people and injuring hundreds more. Now you say, well, they were in a mosque. They're a bunch of Muslims. They deserved it. Friends, they're human beings. This ISIS group that we've talked about many times, they are the Muslim faith as well. But they hate everybody. They hate everybody, and they're trying to kill as many people as they can. Christians especially, they hate them. The number of people that they've brutally murdered over the past couple of years has been over 20,000 people they have brutally murdered. I mean, they're taking people out. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your race. It don't matter your age. It don't matter your gender. Anybody is subject to them coming and murdering. In the United States, it seems that we have fallen behind. It seems that we have stopped caring about what happens in the world because we feel secure. We have it very easy here in the United States, and we have for a long time. You know, and just like the children of Israel back in the day when God protected them, He led them out of Egypt's bondage and He took them into the wilderness and He provided for them. He fed them every day, gave them food to eat and water to drink and watched over them, protected them. And He said, you know, that I am your God and you're my people. And as long as they trusted in the Lord and they didn't turn to idols and their wicked ways and they bowed down to God and praised God and worshiped Him only, then things went fine for them. But God told them, He told them over and over and over, if you don't turn from your wicked ways, if you don't turn from your idols, if you don't come to me and serve me and me alone, I'm going to allow things to happen to you. I'm going to allow the enemy to come in and I'm going to allow them to take your children. I'm going to allow them to come in and to desolate this place. I'm going to allow them to come in and take you. And I'm going to allow them to do these things to you. And what did the people say? They didn't believe it. They kept right on with their wicked ways. They kept right on worshiping false idols. They kept right on doing everything that they always did. The United States of America today, you've had preachers for the last 50, 60 years standing up and telling you that it's going to happen. Things are coming. We're in the last days. Be ready for it. Looking for the Lord's return. Looking for the time the Lord's going to come and take His bride out of here. And we've been warned and warned and warned. And people shake their head and they nod it and they say, all people's been saying that for hundreds of years, that Jesus is going to come. He's going to take His people out of here, and it has not happened. And I don't expect it's going to happen now. And we've been preaching. We've been on the street corners. We've been behind pulpits. We've been everywhere we can preaching the gospel of Jesus, warning people that it's going to come. It's going to come. Let me ask you this morning. If ISIS came and knocked down our front doors this morning, and they marched into our sanctuary, and they held a gun to your head, and they told you to believe in Allah and not believe in Jesus this morning, what would you do? You say, oh, Brother Byron, that would never happen over here. We live in the United States of America. We live in the land of the free. We're protected. They would never get here. You better think again. You better think again. Friends, I'm not trying to be the prophet of doom this morning, but it is my responsibility as your pastor to tell you what God's Word says concerning these last days. These last days. Now, I'd love to get up here and preach popsicle sticks and candy canes and sugar. I'd love to do that. I'd love to tell you about the love of Jesus and how wonderful it is when He wraps His arms around you and holds you and protects you and is just there for you and you just snuggled up in Him. And there's a time for that. But friends, this morning, I've got to warn you. I've got to warn you because God told me, He said, you've got to warn everybody you can that it's in the last days. Time is coming to a halt. It is coming. And like I said, ever since Jesus went off on that cloud of glory, everybody's been looking and waiting and watching for that last day. We've been in that last day ever since. There is not a thing on God's timetable that we're waiting on before He calls us out of here. Not a thing. There's not one single thing that has to occur before Jesus says, hey, I'm taking my bride out of there. I'm taking my church out of there. And I'm taking them with me. And then this whole place is going to come to an end, friends. Nothing's in the way of that. I want to know if you and your family are prepared for that time. Are you prepared for that time? As we looked at that passage of Scripture that we opened up with, this is Paul's second letter there to his young son in the faith, Timothy. Now, he's been talking to him a lot about doctrine, a lot about church ways to be a pastor and everything. And he gets to this section, and it's all of a sudden like he just kind of changes. And he says, but Timothy, listen, all this I've told you, you need to know. But I want you to know this for sure, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. In the last days, things are going to happen that you're not going to believe. The things will happen in your life, in your ministry, in the lives of your people that you're not going to believe in these last days. And you need to be prepared for it. These perilous times shall come. He didn't say might come. He said they shall come. That means they are coming, and be ready for it. As we deal with this faith in the last days, the Bible says there, this know also in the last days perilous times shall come. You know, I look throughout the Bible and I see all the way back in Genesis chapter 49, as we see there that I believe it was Jacob, he called his sons together with him, and he was dying on his deathbed, and he looks at him, he tells them this right here. He says, and Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. In the last days. And I go throughout the Bible and I start seeing different things throughout there. Over in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1 and 2. The Bible tells us that God speaks to us in these last days through His Son. He speaks to us in these last days through His Son. So the Bible's been warning us all through there. The prophets, Nehemiah, Isaiah, Joel. I mean, that just goes on and on. Micah. They tell us of these events that's going to happen in the last days. In the final days. As we await for the Lord Jesus, Jesus spoke of these last days several times when He was teaching and preaching. We are in the last days right now. And Paul was warning Timothy. He said, son, we are in the last days, and it is coming. Perilous times are going to come. And that word perilous, it comes from the Greek word kalipos, which means dangerous, fierce. Savage is what it's talking about. You may remember the same thing was talked about to that demoniac over there. Savage, fierce. This is the kind of thing these things going to happen in the world. It's very harsh. These describe how things are in our world today. It describes what things are going on today. Over in 2 Peter 3 and 3, it tells us that in these last days there'll be scoffers. That there'll be scoffers that come. And they'll be shaking their head just like they do today and denying that Jesus Christ is going to return. Scoffers. They walk after their own lust. Then in verses 2 and 5, our opening text, Paul starts making this big list of things. If you look at that list there, he said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Do you see that big list of things that he gives us there? Of things that are going to go on in this world today, in these last days. And I can look around my world that I live in, here in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I see these same list. I see these same things going on in the lives of people all around us. You turn on the news station, you get on the internet and look at the news sites, and you see all these attributes listed one by one of all the things that's happening throughout the world. Oh, but here we sit in our little comfortable places, don't we? In our nice comfy homes with air conditioning, and we got everything we want. We eat to our heart's content. We wear the clothes we want. We come and sit on the padded pews and enjoy this nice sanctuary God's blessed us with. But all these things in these last days are going on all around us. It's kind of like we're oblivious to the world. It's raging all around us, and we keep living and going on. He said men shall be lovers of their own selves. Self-love. And that's the thing being preached today, self-love. How to better yourself, how to make yourself better, how to look better, how to act better, how to smell better, whatever it is they may be preaching today, all these things that's distracting us from the truth of God's Word, that there is coming a time in these last days and things are going to happen and people are eating this stuff up. I mean, the books are flying off the shelves today of how to improve yourself, you know, and that's what people want to hear. And you know, the Bible teaches the exact opposite of all that. The Bible teaches us the exact opposite. And people want to teach that you deserve to be loved. You deserve this. You deserve that. You should have it all. But unfortunately, that's not what the Bible teaches. Here in the USA, it seems like we're concerned about health, wealth, prosperity. We're concerned about those things. You know, more church today get split up over silly things like which songbook that people want to sing out of. Silly things like, what color the carpet was, or I didn't like those pews that color, things like that. And people get all mad and raging and splitting churches and things. Silly things. While over in the other parts of the world, we have people that actually have real concerns. Like, am I going to be killed today for believing in Jesus? Is somebody going to come and kill my family today because that I trusted Jesus as my Savior? Am I going to be beheaded because I stand for Christ? Those are the real concerns today. Friends, I want you to know that we are in the last days, and those things that we hear that we think happen everywhere else are happening here. They're going to start happening here more and more. This morning, if a ruthless gang of ISIS terrorists poured into our sanctuary and started killing people, what are we going to do? We're going to say, boy, I remember that message Brother Byron preached that time about love. I remember that message that time preached about, how I could do better in life and all these things. No, we're not going to be thinking about none of that. You know what we're going to be thinking about? We're going to be thinking about, do I have what it takes down inside of me? Do I have the faith in God that I need to have to get me through this right here? As I face death right here in front of me, and somebody asks me, do you believe in Jesus? Do I have that faith inside of me that says, yes, I believe in Jesus. No matter what happens to me, I have trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Do we have that kind of faith today? Do we believe what we say with these lips? We go around saying, I'm a Christian. I see people on social media. They put in their profile, Christian, belong to such and such church. And then they have all this other garbage that they've got down through here. Friends, are we just paying lip service today? We telling everybody we're a Christian. But when it comes right down to it, in these last days, if it depends on your life, are you going to tell everybody I'm a Christian? Do we have that kind of faith? You say, well, Brother Byron, now that can never happen here. Why are you trying to scare us today? Couldn't happen here, huh? I want you to go to the family of Colleen Hufford. This past September in Oklahoma City, she was beheaded in the workplace. United States of America in Oklahoma, this woman was beheaded. She was a mother with children. I believe she was 52 years old when she was beheaded by Alton Nolan, a Muslim. He changed his name to Yaqim Yisrael. And boasted on Facebook, Islam will dominate the world. Freedom, go to hell, is what he had on his Facebook page as he beheaded this woman. He attempted to kill another one. Friends, they called it workplace violence. And that's what they're still calling it today. I want you to go tell that family that could never happen here. I want to read you something. You don't think it could happen here. I want you to go to the families. I want you to go to the family of Michael Cahill from Washington and tell him it couldn't happen here. I want you to go to Justin DeCrow's house, tell his family in Indiana this couldn't happen here. Go to John Gaffney's house in California and tell him this can't happen. I want you to go over to Mountain City, Tennessee. And I want you to find the family of Freddie Green. And I want you to tell them, you know what, Greens? It couldn't happen here. Terrorism, Muslims, and all this terror could not happen here in the United States. We're protected. Go over to Amy Krueger's house in Wisconsin. Tell them that. Aaron Nemelka in Utah. Michael Pearson in Illinois. Russell Seeger in Wisconsin. Francesca Velez in Illinois. Juanita Warman in Pennsylvania. There's 13 names right here of people, United States citizens, that lived on the Fort Hood Army Base in Texas when a Muslim opened fire on them, firing over 200 rounds at these innocent people and killing them and murdering them. And what was he doing as he did it? Does anybody remember what he was doing? He was yelling out something. Allah Akbar, as he blasted into all these innocent people. Oh, but it couldn't happen here. Oh, but it is. Oh, but it is. All 13 of these people killed on U.S. soil, but it couldn't happen here. That's exactly what the Jews thought too when God warned them that things were going to happen. And until they started coming and beating down the walls and taking their children and taking them off into captivity and thousands of people dying, they didn't ever think it would happen. But it did. The book of Mark, we find an interesting time. I'd like for you to turn there in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. Very interesting. This is in the ministry of Jesus. Mark 13, start with verse 1. The Bible says, "And as he went out of the temple," talking about Jesus, "one of his disciples said unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answered them, began to say, Take heed lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be earthquakes in divers places. There shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows." Underline those words in your Bible. "These are the beginnings of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues you shall be beaten. You shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must be first published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Do you notice that? I ask you to underline there in verse 8. He said, "These are the beginning of sorrows." The beginning of sorrows. Now, he is talking about really three different time periods throughout the world. One, we know, happened about 40 years after he spoke these words, as Jerusalem was destroyed. As they knocked down the walls, the temple, and they did all the damage, and thousands upon thousands of Jews were killed by their enemies. But he is talking of a time that we're in now when he says the beginning of sorrows. He's not necessarily talking about the tribulation period yet. That is a time that's going to come. We are in the beginning of sorrows now. We are sorrowing over all these things that's taking place. The Bible goes on and tells us all these things that's going to happen. Nation rising against nation. You look around you right now at all the nations against each other. Not only are nations against nations, but nations are against themselves. Things are going really bad right now. He said these are the beginning of sorrows. The beginning of sorrows is right now. Ephesians 5 and 27 says this, "That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." He's talking about the bride of Christ. That he is wanting to present the bride to his son without blemish, without spot, to be holy. Do you know these times that we're in right now, these last days we are in, we, the church, are going through a cleansing period. We're going through a time that he is preparing his bride for the marriage with his son. We are going through that time now. These truths in the Bible, like 2 Corinthians 11 and 2, says, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." You see, he don't want to present his son Jesus with a nasty bride. He don't want to present his son with a wife that's unfaithful, with one that does not have the true faith in him. And it's time for a cleansing. Zechariah 13 and 9, "And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it's my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God." Yeah, we're in the beginning of sorrows. We're in the last days right now. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt we are in a period where the wheat and the chaff is going to get separated. I believe we're in a time when we're going to see the true and the faithful rise up. We're going to see those that were not faithful and not true are going to come down this way. We're going to see a separation of those that are true and those that are not. When we face these times, these trials that's going to come, that shall come, the Bible says, we're going to see who the real are and who the fake are. Who the phony are and who the truthful are. And God is going to separate them to prepare us for that time when He will take us out of here. Jesus, speaking of the turbulent times, He says of the last days. In verse 9, He warns them that they'll be beaten and brought before rulers and kings for His sake. They'll be beaten. It's happening right now all over the world. People are being beaten. They're being persecuted for Christ's sake. Have you ever stopped to consider just how deep your faith is? I mean, do we have about as much faith as fills up a little thimble or something? Or do we have that real faith that we can reach down inside and rely upon in those times that may come to us today? We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know that tomorrow, as we're in our workplaces, we're over at Hardee's eating a biscuit, we're wherever we may be tomorrow, we don't have the knowledge to know what's going to happen. We could look out that window and see that we're being attacked. You don't know what's going to happen in these last days, but are we prepared? We're going to face, there's times we may face severe punishment because of our trust in Jesus. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." I'll be perfectly honest with you today. If I had announced yesterday that I was going to be preaching on how you could retire at 55 and be a millionaire, there would not be an empty seat in this church. There'd be people driving from out of state to come and hear that message. But I announced yesterday I'd be preaching about faith in the last days. And I had a few likes on that. A few people commented. Somebody shared it. You know, that's fine. But I want you to know people don't want to hear the truth today. They don't want to hear what the Bible says about how we need to be living in the last days and how we need to have faith in God. They want to hear about what's in it for me. How can I be lifted up? How can I exalt myself? How can I get above my peers? How can I come up in this world with something better than everybody else? And that's the way the world is today in these last days. But the Bible is plain in there that we need to have that kind of faith, the faith that we can face in the last days. Mark my word, when persecution starts here, and I've already read off names, it's happening here. When it starts happening in Knoxville, Tennessee, I want to know that I have that faith in Jesus that I must have when I have to face those trials. When someone comes to me and they put the gun to my head, they give me the option there to deny Christ or to accept Allah, that I've got that kind of faith that says, "You go ahead and you blow my head off because I believe in Jesus and I trust in Him, because you know what? I'm a winner either way. I'm a winner either way. If I get to stay here, I still got Jesus to look forward to. But if you take me now, I'll be in His presence in that very hour." I want to know that I've got that kind of faith. How do we face such trials when it comes to us? How do we do it? Let's look at the book of Jude and we'll be finished. Book of Jude, right before Revelation, over there in your New Testament. Jude, verse 17. Jude writes this. He says, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time." There's those words again. "In the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." But verse 20 is the key. "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and evermore. I like that there in verse 20, what Jude tells us, what the Bible says. He said, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Do we have that kind of faith today? Do you have that kind of faith that it takes in those times, in these last days of tribulation, of sorrows, when men are going to be just lovers themselves, the perilous times the Bible talks about, savage times? Do you have that faith? You say, now, Brother Byron, my granny had that kind of faith. My papa had that kind of faith. Moses had that kind of faith. Abraham had that kind of faith. My mama and my daddy had that kind of faith. But I don't have that kind of faith. I don't have the faith that I could stand in the presence of the tribulation and the trials and the sorrows. I don't think I have that kind of faith. I want you to know this morning that the same faith that your granny had, that your papaw had, the same faith that Abraham had, that Isaac had, that Jacob had, that Moses had, that Noah had, that Jesus has, the same faith they all had, is the same faith that you can have today. It's the same faith. It's the same God. It's the same Jesus Christ that gives us that faith. And we can stand bold in those times of trials and tribulations. And we can look death in the eye and say, God, I have faith in you. No matter what happens, through the blood of Jesus Christ, I've been saved. And I know where I'm going. Now, no matter what you may do to me, you can bury me in a hole like they used to do the old prophets and leave them there to die. You can do that to me. You can put me in a log and saw me in half. But friends, I want you to know I've still got Jesus. He still saved my soul. And I've got that kind of faith. Do you have that kind of faith today? Would the ladies come and play the instruments this morning? I want to give an invitation song. I believe we're doing Just As I Am, if I'm not mistaken. I believe that's on page 81 in your church hymnal. I'd like for you to turn that song with me and let's stand our feet. And let's sing this song, Just As I Am. And I'm going to ask you this morning, if you need help today, if maybe you've been wavering in your faith, maybe you don't feel that you have the kind of faith that it takes to stand for the Lord, to stand in these last days, would you come down and let me pray with you? Let's just hand it over to the Lord. He said to just bring all of your burdens, your cares to Him. He'd take them from you. Friends, He's here for you today. Would you come to this altar and let me pray with you? If you're lost today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, would you come down here? Let me show you in the Bible what it means to be saved. And let's make things right today as we sing this song.